Would you turn to the third book of the New Testament, Luke? Luke chapter 11 this morning, as we begin. On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down scripture references. Always encourage you to just get it in your heart. One way it helps me is to write it down. So if it's helpful, please do so. Write it down, go over it during the week. Luke chapter 11, I'll let you get your hands free and we'll make our confession here together, okay? I'll say that in just a minute. Luke chapter 11, and then we'll go over to Ephesians 6 eventually, but let's see your hands still working. You got them free? All right. Then would you join me as we make our confession together, our confidence of God's Spirit to speak to us through His Word today. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass as he, speaking of Jesus, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus, for me, it really stands out that he said, teach us to pray, not just teach us how. Prayer is one of those things like exercise. We tend to talk about it more than we do. So teach us to pray. Not just how, but teach us to pray. But Jesus does give us a little guide and a model to follow here. And if you say these words verbatim, that's fine. It's not wrong. But even if we're not using praying it exactly these words, it gives us a guide so that when we pray, we kind of cover all the different areas. He starts off in verse 2, and Jesus said to them, one disciple came to him, teach us to pray. So he apparently got them together and says, he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So right off the bat, the first thing is our Father in heaven. Prayer is based on relationship. Without a relationship, we can mouth words, we can be religious, but it is not prayer according to Scripture. It's not the scriptural, it's not what God wants. God doesn't want just little robots who do mechanical religious duty. He wants sons and daughters in His family. And He was willing to sacrifice the life of His own son. If you're listening now, the wind, I don't know if it was a wind, maybe the Holy Ghost was coming in. You don't have to. No, we don't want to keep him out. We won't let him out. But he says, our Father, it's relationship. Jesus opened the way so that we can know God. God wants us to be in close fellowship with Him as our Heavenly Father. And then he goes on, he says, our Father, hallowed be your name. Worship is so important. It's lifting Him up. We got to start right. I think it's important right off the bat to recognize to whom we're speaking with and to give Him worship. Hallowed be your name. And then he says, your kingdom or your reign come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants us not only to be close to Him, He wants to use our prayers to extend His reign and His will right here on earth. And so the message this morning is just simply from the words of Jesus, where he says to pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. So the title this morning is just simply, pray for God's will. Pray for God's will. And as you might be writing that down, pray for God's will. Thank God he wants us to, we're to tell him our requests, right? So thank God for that. But ultimately, in fact, I want to ask you a question. You can give me some input, all right? Jesus said to pray for God's will, but why? Outside of the fact that he commanded it. All right, so we should do it just because he says. But what benefit or what value is it to pray for God's will? Why should we pray for God's will? It is the best thing for us. It is what is best. What does the scripture say in there in Romans 12? It says that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. See, God's will is good and it's perfect. So when we pray for God's will in our lives, in the lives of others in a particular situation, we are praying what is good, acceptable, and perfect. We're praying for God to have his way. And maybe we don't understand it all. Maybe we can't figure it out. That's okay. We're not God. But his will really is best. So we pray according to his will. Pray for God's will. Pray for God's will in your life. Pray for God's will in your family, in your friends, your enemies. Pray for God's will in the situation, your work, school, whatever it may be. I'm telling you, I really seek to do that. You know, even in my schoolwork, I ask the Lord to help me. I don't just go through I study, I work hard, but I ask the Lord to help me in my studies. I ask him to help me in work and whatever it might be facing. So I want to encourage you. And the Bible mentions different types of prayer. I want to mention two, but just really focus on one in the time we have this morning. So if you want to write this down, in fact, you turn back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And just one prayer form this morning, if you want to write it down, is that prayer is communion. Prayer is communion. Luke chapter 5, and we'll just look at a couple verses here in a moment. Luke chapter 5. When you hear the word communion, not talking about the communion table, like the Lord's Supper, because that is called communion too. Is there anything that comes to mind if you think about people being in communion? What's that? Fellowship. All right. Unity, yeah, like union, union, okay, coming together, all right? It's sharing. It's sharing to all of those. It's fellowship, it's unity, it's sharing. So when we're in communion with someone, it's like no walls between us. There are no barriers, and that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be heart to heart, no barriers, no hindrance, nothing between us, that we're in communion together. Have you noticed that when you're in communion with someone, it's like you're free to share? It's like you can open up your heart to them. But when we do that, doesn't that bond you together? When you begin to trust someone enough and you open your heart a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, it bonds us together when we have those times. So that's what God wants from us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible says this, Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, however, because Jesus was healing people and so forth, and it says, the report of Jesus went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear. They wanted to hear what he had to say, and they also came to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself, Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Think about that a moment, all right? Here is the Son of God in human flesh, and the demands on him are so great, he had to often get away from the crowds and be alone to commune and fellowship with his Heavenly Father. If he made time with his Father a priority, as the sinless Son of God, how much more would it be incumbent upon us to make time with God a priority where we can give him our attention and open our heart to him? Give him our attention. I know people are busy. If you're not even busy, if you have absolutely nothing to do, something will steal your time if you allow it. We have so many distractions. So many, I'm getting a buzz. Did someone give me a like? Did someone, I got to check. You know, and we're just busy, busy, even mentally, to where it's just hard sometimes to take that mental break and give God our attention. Have you ever noticed that sometime when you pray, it's like you start thinking everything in the world? Sometimes I'll pray, I just have my day planner, and if I really feel like I need to write, I just write it down and try to focus back on the Lord. So I don't let that just build up to really take some time. I believe it makes a difference in me. It makes a difference in my day. If I have that time just to have some time with the Lord, make that time for Him, man, I can better handle what comes my way. To worship and open our heart to Him, make that connection. Let me ask you a question. If we neglect our time with the Lord, do you believe it would show itself somehow in our lives? You think so? Can you think of any way it may show? Yes. Frustrations. Things can frustrate us more, Ms. Pam, in our attitude. All right. So I can get a, you know what people say, well, you got an attitude. Usually it's not a compliment, right? Anyone? Yes. Life situations can be more difficult without that time of communion and grace to face those things. Yes. Okay. Eva? Okay. So just you know, kind of like in the world today, pandemic, everything going, having fears. Fear could come, yeah. Everyone faces fear, but not that it would dominate us, right? Yes.
I would say how you handle it, give that time with the Lord, is how you handle situations. Anxiety, frustration. I find myself, it keeps me above. If somebody says some silly or whatever out the way, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm soaring above that.
Okay.
And so I get past, I'm like, what did they say? What? You know, but.
Having that time, I want to repeat it so people can hear. Having that time and being in communion with the Lord, we can rise above that anxiety maybe and the frustrations, and maybe somebody will say something and we're a little better able to handle it where it doesn't become such an issue or contention. Brother Smitty?
Yeah, I would say it builds your faith. Faith comes from hearing God.
It builds our faith, and faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Luke chapter 10, this could be, maybe this is a good example for us. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now there is a time for worship and there is a time for work, but too many times if we're not careful, we can miss our time of worship because we're busy working. But notice what happened then. Verse 40. It says Martha was what? Distracted. Wow. And it wasn't a bad thing. Martha was distracted with much serving. Are we to serve the Lord? Of course. But at this time, it was time to just be with Jesus and hear his word. And so it says she was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care?" Yeah, he cares deeply. "And you, my sister's left me here to serve alone. Tell her to help me." Now, isn't this something? Notice what it says here, how Jesus responded to her in verse 41. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about what? Many things." Notice it, though. She opened the door to worry and trouble because she was distracted instead of being with Jesus. Worry and trouble about many things. One thing is needed right now, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. So to have that time with the Lord, communion. Maybe sometimes it'll show in contentions. Tell my sister to help me. Maybe it shows in anxiety. She's worried and troubled. And if we find ourselves in that condition, that situation, maybe we should just remind ourselves, don't condemn yourself. Just, hey, I got to make some time to be with the Lord right now. That's what I need right now. Ephesians chapter 6. Would you turn there and we'll look at this second one. Ephesians chapter 6. Pray for God's will. So prayer is communion. And then secondly, today, prayer is combat. So prayer is communion, and prayer is combat. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll begin reading in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, Verse number 10, the Bible says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Would you say that verse with me? Let's read it out loud. If you look on the screen, we'll be on the same translation. Ready? "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We can only be strong in the Lord when we are in full communion with the Lord. That's where it's so important. The communion and the combat really go together. It's out of my communion with the Lord, I can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In other words, I'm relying on his might and his strength. Verse 11, he says, "Put on." Would you tell somebody next to you, just, you don't have to get close, you see a social distance or whatever, just say, "Put on the whole armor of God." So God supplies the armor, but brothers and sisters, we're to put it on. We're the ones who need to use the armor and weapons God has provided. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the strategies, the tricks of the devil." See, that's, again, I want to just emphasize about communion, because when we're in communion with the Lord, we have grace from him, and we need God's grace to enable us to stand against the devil's schemes. We can't stand in human strength against demon spirits. We've got to be strong in the power of the Lord. That's why he said be strong in his might and his power. And so in his grace, we can stand against what the devil is wanting to do in us and then through us. So he says, stand against the wiles of the devil, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." One translation said, our battle is not against human opponents. I like that, because sometimes in the natural, people do get on our nerves. We have contentions. We disagree. We argue. We fight, fuss, whatever. But really, ultimately, our greatest battle is not with other people. It's in the spiritual realm. And so I think that would be helpful, maybe even right now in this political season, to remember that our real enemy is our adversary, the devil, and to be able to stand together. So he says, put on the whole armor. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We do battle. We battle against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age. These are like different spirits, different realms of spirits even, principalities and rulers that are in that area of darkness, spiritual darkness. And then he goes on in that last part of verse 12, and he says that we wrestle against spiritual, and see the word host there? I don't know if it does that on the screen, but the word host in the original, it's in italics. That means it's not in the original language. So when he says against spiritual hosts of wickedness, how it's translated here, is actually saying, and against spirits of wickedness. So it's against spirits of wickedness that we're really in that fight with and we're contending with. And then he says in verse 13, therefore, take up, would you say take up? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, to stand, therefore, stand firm. That verse, those verses 13 and 14, that word where it says to withstand in the evil day, and to stand, they're the same Greek word that's translated resist in James 4:7, where it says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's the same word, withstand, stand, and resist. It means to oppose. So it's not just that, Satan is opposing me. We can oppose him. We can oppose him in the full armor of God, and we can take our stand against him. That's why God wants us to pray for his reign and his will to be done, because it's a spiritual battle here. Spiritual fighting, spiritual warfare. So prayer is communion and prayer is combat. And I won't take the time to read all of verses of the different pieces of armor, but if you drop to verse 18, I'll tell you what they are. Verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on this whole armor so that you can stand, take it up. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that can be in English, it can be in the spiritual language, but it's praying by the Spirit, being watchful, being alert to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he says in verse 19, while you're at it, pray for me too. So to pray. This is how, see, the armor, I really believe we use it in prayer. That's where the battle is engaged. Because when I go to prayer, many of you said it earlier. How many of you said, I've gone to prayer before, and it's like every distraction in the world comes my way? Y'all think that's coincidence? Not always, is it? It's the devil's attempt, because if God uses our prayers to accomplish his will and purpose, he wants to stop us from bringing those prayers to fruition in the earth. So he says, the first piece here of the whole armor is truth. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, I've got to stand in truth. So what is the truth about God? What is the truth about me? What is the truth about others? What is the truth about this situation? So we go to the Lord and we're standing in prayer. We're withstanding. We're opposing the devil with truth. And then he says, the breastplate of righteousness. So we stand. How do we pray in righteousness? First of all, we got to realize that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. In other words, we have nothing of our own merit to offer God where he is like, oh, you're just so spiritual. I'm just going to let you into heaven. We're all in need. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And the only way that any of us, the only hope any of us ever have of being righteous is for God to give us his righteousness. And God makes us righteous when we believe his word and receive Jesus as the Lord of our lives. Then the righteous one makes us righteous. And so we go to the Lord in prayer. And I said, man, I messed. I just had a bad attitude. And Lord, I've fallen up. We've got to stand against the devil's condemnation and accusation in the righteousness of the blood of Jesus and his perfect work on the cross. But you see how we come against him that way? We oppose him and we take our stand in prayer because we stand in the righteousness of Jesus. And then he says, shoes that are ready to take the good news of peace. We stand in the gospel of peace. We have the peace of God because we're at peace with God by what he did for us. But he also wants us to have the peace of God. So when we go to prayer, I'm hurting, I'm troubled, this is a bad situation, I got a bad report, this person's in trouble. But we go to the Lord in prayer, and I can experience God's peace to some degree to guard my heart and mind if I will pray with thanksgiving and lay my request before him and just keep seeking God. I want to thank God. I've heard a couple of praises of a couple of people we were praying for with COVID that God has brought through those seasons. Thank God for his healing. And even if someone is streaming right now, if you have prayer requests, email me. Just go to the website, clmfamily.org, and let me know. I'll pray over them. But God does hear and answer prayer. And thank God, but there is that battle that takes place so many times. And then he says that we're to lift up the shield of faith. So when we pray, we want to believe God. We want to pray in faith that God is not only going to hear, but he's going to move according to his will. You see why it's important? We pray for God's will to be done. So he mentions all these different pieces of armor. Anyone know the next one? It's like a helmet of salvation. So in our salvation, we stand and we pray and we guard our thoughts and we guard our minds because there's so many attacks. The Bible says that Satan shoots these arrows at us that are on fire. And it's fiery arrows of lies and accusations and deceptions and untruths and you'll never measure up and contentions and everything that he shoots. And it takes faith to extinguish those fiery darts and put them out. And then he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If we want to know God's will, we've got to know His Word. And we follow the leading of His Spirit too. But if anything, it doesn't matter. We think, but this is really my heart's desire. Sometimes our desires are not godly. We still have the flesh to contend with. And if we're not wise, if we're not discerning, we can think that voice within us is the voice of God and lead us in a wrong direction. So to have truth, to be able to use truth and to speak truth, that's why it was always good to pray the Word of God, to pray the truth of God's Word, because God does honor His Word and we know that's His will. And then there are other times, maybe I don't know, you know, I'm a college age and I don't know if I should go to this school or these other two. I've applied and I've gotten a couple acceptance letters. Which one should I go? Okay, that's where we want to seek God and ask for Him to intervene and give us direction. The question is my heart willing to follow Him wherever He leads? So to pray for God's will. Would you tell someone next to you, pray for God's will? I want to just give you a few verses if you want to write these down. I'll try to make it fairly quick. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. This, man, these are awesome scriptures here for just giving us a little insight into the spirit world. But Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, the Bible says this. Daniel 9, 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Jeremiah knew from Scripture that the time of their captivity was almost over. It was almost over. Now, here would have been a wrong response. Well, you know what? The Bible says it, so if it's God's will, it'll happen. That's not, you know what that is? That's abandoning our responsibility. Daniel did not abandon his responsibility. Well, if God's will is going to happen, no. He prayed earnestly, and he prayed the truth of God's word for it to come to pass. Notice what he says in that next verse, verse 3. Daniel 9, 3, it says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Does that just sound like, hey, sarah, sarah? Verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. And I love his attitude in verse 5. We have sinned. This godly man identified with the sins of his people. He wasn't, the problem is these, you know, pointing fingers at his people or the church or whatever. He was saying, we've done wrong and we need the Lord. He says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgment. So he prayed the word of the Lord. And over in chapter 10, sometime later, Daniel had this vision. He was praying for understanding of the word of the Lord. And as he was praying for understanding in the Lord's vision, he was fasting. Like, he didn't eat meat, sweets, and things like that for 3 whole weeks. You imagine that? But he was kept praying and seeking the Lord, praying and seeking the Lord. And the answer came, and this spirit being came to him. And when he appeared to Daniel, he had such an awesome appearance that it actually drained Daniel's physical strength, and he was on his face on the ground. And this spirit came up to him and touched him. And when he did, Daniel got like on his hands and knees, and he was trembling. And that's where it says in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible says this in verse number 10. Daniel 10:10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and the palms of my hands. And he said, Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. And so while he was still speaking the word to me, I stood, I'm trembling. And he said, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of what? Your words. Notice the prayer made the difference. The answer came on day one. It's day 21. What happened? Verse 13, but the prince, that spirit over the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, who is one of the archangels, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there alone with the kings of Persia. See how important it is to keep persevering in prayer and to pray God's word and to pray for his will to be done and not to give up. Daniel just kept on, and he was even praying and partially fasting until there was a breakthrough and the answer came, because if we could see in the spirit realm, I believe it would make a difference in how we pray, and I believe it would make a difference in how we worship. In one case, Elisha was out with his servant, and the Syrian army came and surrounded them. And when the servant woke up the next morning, he looked out and see all the army, and he said, "Oh, we're in trouble, Elisha, we're surrounded. And he said, "Oh, don't worry about it." He said, "There's more with us than with them." And he said, one, two, three. And he prayed. He said, "Lord, open his eyes." And the Lord gave him spiritual sight. And that whole mountain range was filled with horses of fire and chariots, warriors of the Lord that were for the Lord's people and for his. And they took the people captive, because there was greater is he who is within me than he who is within the world. Just a couple more verses real quick. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is one I'd like to ask you to memorize for this up week. Maybe just think about it this upcoming week. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. We can put it on the screen and we can read it together, all right? Because this verse really important on God's will, what is his will, and the confidence that we can have when we pray. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says this: "Now this is the confidence that we have in him," speaking of Jesus, "or that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us." He hears us. Would you say that with me? Let's read it together out loud. Ready? "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." God is glorified when his will prevails. The ultimate purpose of prayer is not to get our will done. It's to draw us closer to the Lord, communion, and to see his will done. Like you said, remember, God's will is what's best. It's good. It's perfect. So we pray for God's will to be done. So let me ask you a question. Let's say do any of you have someone that you love and care about, and at this point they haven't, they don't know the Lord yet, but you're praying for them. You want them to come to know the Lord. Would you raise your hand, anyone here? Look at this, all over the sanctuary. Thank you. Pray for God's will. So does that mean I should say, "Okay, Lord, if it's your will to save this person, I ask you to save them"? Why wouldn't I pray that way if it's your will to save them? It is his will. How do you know that? Because his word says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9, I think. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4 says that this is God's will, that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So we don't have to wonder, "Lord, should I pray for this person? Is it your will to save them?" Absolutely, it's God's will. And that's where we don't be half-hearted about it. Pray and claim God's promise. Claim their soul. Do battle for them. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, let me just rattle off a few verses quick and we'll conclude. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, "If our gospel, if our good news is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine on them." So when we go to the Lord in prayer, and we're praying, "Lord, I pray that you save this person. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be a light to them. Open my mouth that I could have the right words to them. Maybe they're away from us. Lord, would you send laborers into their path who could be Jesus to them and prepare their hearts and open their..." Lord, come, I want to stand against that God of this world who's blinded their minds and deceived them. And Lord, let the light of your gospel go to them. When we do that, we are fighting spiritually in their behalf. until that breakthrough comes. So we know it's God's will. Would you turn to Revelation chapter 12? I'll close. Revelation chapter 12. Beginning in verse 9, last book of the Bible. Pray for God's will. Pray for God's will. God has supplied the armor. It's up to us to use them. Don't you know God wants us to walk in victory? He's a good father. He wants his sons and daughters to know him, to walk in victory, to do his will. Revelation 12, 9 says this. So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God, how often? He doesn't let up, does he? Day and night has been cast down. He's the accuser of the believers. But thank God, verse 11, and they overcame him. We overcome the devil, stand against him, resist him by the blood of the Lamb. That means you can heap your condemnation on me, but if the blood of Jesus has cleansed me, I'm clean. By the blood of the Lamb, I belong to him, and by the word of their testimony that I want to give God praise. I'm his, and I don't want anything or anyone to shut me up. I belong to the Lord, and my allegiance is to him. Overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, they love not their lives to the death. And verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. We may see the intensity of the spiritual warfare pick up as we get closer to the Lord's return. That's okay. The Lord has already provided the victory for us. Yes, we may fall at times, but let's just get back up. Let's put on the armor. Let's stand in the truth of God. Let's pray for God's will, because ultimately, his victory is our victory. And we can not only be in God's will, we can pray for others and for God's will to be manifest right here on earth as well. Let's stand together and we'll close in prayer.